Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So E equals MC squared.
Is that supposed to be me? Prick. Final Glasgow derby of the season ends in defeat for Celtic, but was it meaningless? Welcome to 20 Minute Tims. I'm your host, Jamie, Stephen, Melly. Was it meaningless? That's the question.
It's quite a hard game to sum up because I'm trying to strike the right balance between acknowledging the fact that on paper, in terms of where the trophies are headed this season, it is meaningless, literally. But in my opinion, I find it appropriate to talk about how much of a disappointment the performance was, because I think that once it crosses that line into a bit of a doing, we have the right to still talk about it as a bit of a disappointment, to be honest.
Yeah, similar to Stephen, I think building up to the game, you can say, look, we've won the ones that matter, the important ones. We've secured the league. We've put them out of both cups. This is the one, if you're going to lose it. But to lose it in that manner is disappointing. The performance was poor, individual performance was poor, the manager's performance was poor. And yes, it might be meaningless, but it still disappoints me. It was easier to get over than any other game that we could have lost this season, but that doesn't mean I wasn't still very disappointed come the final whistle. And it was a chance for Celtic to really lay down a marker this season, but Rangers decided that it was their turn to lay down the marker, and Celtic played a massive, massive part in that. So I very disappointed at the end yet, but could have been worse. Could have been so much better.
Well, I mean, I struggle to think about how it could have been worse on the day, to be honest with you, but I don't really buy into this sort of meaningless narrative, because it's so narrow. It's so narrow. Aye, in the terms of the league, it doesn't matter, but there's no such thing as a meaningless Glasgow derby. No. Especially the last one of the season, especially when there was still plenty to play for. The league might have been done, but we could have went the whole season without having Rangers beat us.
Yeah.
Which is well worth it. We could have kept Michael Beale in his place. We could have broken the record points total. There's lots of things that could have been gamed for that. We could have sent them into the season having something to really think about, you know. But we didn't. We just turned up and we turned in one of the worst performances and I've seen under Ange. Definitely one of the worst domestic performances I've seen under Ange. So I didn't really buy into any of the sort of is this meaningless narrative. I know there's a bit of part and a bit of jokes that you do when you don't want to be slagged by your Rangers fans or the people that you work with. And it doesn't matter. But if you're still saying that as a Celtic fan to other Celtic fans, I just don't really get it. No. Because I'm still pissed off after watching it.
Yeah, and one of the things you listed there, of the many disappointments, one of the things struck me as one of the worst, because, as you say, if we'd won that, Beale's under serious pressure. They've got a whole summer to go and stew on the lack of performance or lack thereof of their manager. And they haven't won a single one of these games. They've had six attempts at it this season, haven't won a single one of them. Lost all the ones that mattered. For example, the cup final, the semi-final. I suppose if you're going to give me the opportunity, if you're going to say when this season starts, right, you're going to win all the games that matter and lose the one that doesn't. That's a decent deal, but that's not how it works either. And and obviously these games are played individually, and we talk about this and then we seal it in a box and move on, right? But there are things to be learned from a game like that, even if it is just simple things like players playing for their futures and or places for the rest of the season. There's a cup final coming up. Who wants to get into that? Who wants to impress the manager and the fans? So on basically every level, it was a bit of a disappointment, to be honest. I don't think it's really fair to just say, it doesn't matter. Because see, if you go into a game like that, and we all broadly agree, yes, it doesn't matter in terms of the course of the season. But if we lose that 1-0, 2-0, even 2-1, draw 2 each. I think we all come away from it thinking, ah, well.
That's it. Yes, that's the context.
The third goal for me is when it just crossed the line into it. This is a bit of a doing here and I don't accept that really. And see if Callum McGregor and Ange Postecoglou, they don't do what Rangers do and say, oh, it was a hard luck story. They didn't win, we lost, all that kind of stuff. They don't come out and do that. They say that was unacceptable. So as you've said, I don't know why Celtic fans would tell each other that it's pointless. I also don't know why I, as a fan, would disagree with Callum McGregor. Mm. I don't know why I would go, no, you're wrong, Callum McGregor. It was meaningless and it was acceptable. So I think if Callum McGregor is telling us that it's unacceptable, it's far from meaningless, and it shows that they didn't think that. If you see some of the footage as well, clearly we went at the game because they don't allow fans in because, you know, parties and that. they don't accept that anymore. But if you watch Angela on the sidelines, he's kicking every ball. It's not as if he's sitting there with his feet up thinking, this doesn't matter.
Miley, there's a standard at Celtic. There's a standard, there's a level of performance. And just because games are supposedly no played for many points for that, it doesn't just make it okay because, oh, well, we didn't turn in the minimum level of performance you expect for a Celtic team. So that it kind of doesn't matter. We were crap. Yep. We were absolutely crap. I think there's very few occasions where we've criticised Ange, criticised Callum McGregor, some of these guys, but they're going to get it today because there needs to be responsibility for it. You can't just write the whole thing off and pretend it didn't happen, as far as I'm concerned. And like you say, Stephen, if we were 2-2 or we get beaten by a penalty, you'd go, you know what, that wasn't the best. But
or if we'd missed a load of chances, yeah, or something.
Yeah, a load of chances. Yeah. There are circumstances where we would be sitting here going, it's no ideal, but it's at the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. But to be honest, I was pretty stunned at that level of performance. And I was stunned because I wasn't aware that Ange Postecoglou's Celtic team, Melly, had the capacity to be that poor.
Yeah, we've seen last season we get beat by Rangers twice and you go, do you know what? It was by the odd goal. These games are tight. And look, the games since Michael Beale came in have been tight as well. But that third goal makes it a pumping. That was a poor performance from Celtic. 2-0, you can say, all right, you had one over us, but the third goal going in was shocking. And it's not just the third goal, it's the second half performance as well. Celtic were 2-0 down at half time, and that second half barely looked like getting back into the game. And we've seen Ange Postecoglou's team come out and think that's not an Ange Postecoglou performance. So you need to look into it and say, well, why did that happen? Because we've seen Celtic go out and get beat by Rangers over the years, but very rarely did we get beat by 3 goals. And for a good Celtic team to go out and lose in that manner was really poor, especially coming out on the back of becoming champions. Celtic should have went there with a spring in their step, going to show we are the top dogs here, and they get absolutely bullied.
There was a train of thought, Stephen, that says, well, the lineup sort of gives you an indication into how Ange sees the game, how Ange feels the game, whether or not he thinks this is a game worth throwing your best hand at. And there was a couple of people online and in our Discord and all that, which is a benefit of one of our Patreon tiers. There are people there saying, look, the lineup that Ange picked sort of showed you how much effort he put into thinking this game was worth winning and all that. And I completely disagree with that. There's two things that happened with that lineup. From the manager's point of view, I think some of the changes were obviously enforced, right? But if you're going to pick that lineup and have so many changes, and a lot of these players, yeah, they play in the same positions, but for instance, Maeda is absolutely critical to the way Celtic play. Kyogo is absolutely critical to the way Celtic play. I've not even got on at the back line yet. But if you're taking these two players out, Celtic, they play completely differently. So you either have to augment what you're doing and your approach to the game, aka you can't take the template for Celtic's first 11, which Ange spent all season telling us doesn't exist, and just happen to expect the second 11, if that's what you want to call that team that played against Rangers, to replicate that exactly, because there's players there who can't do it. Or, as the manager, you have to say, these guys can't do it, so some of them need to go because they can't play the way I want to play. Do you think Ange took that into consideration when he picked that lineup? Do you think he went, do you know what, bit of a dead rubber, I'll give some people a chance that have no had minutes? There is a third option, and again, I don't agree with this at all, where Ange just said to some of these fringe players, look, I've got my guys, they're performing really well, but once the league is won, I'll make sure you get minutes. But see, if you win the league and the very next game is Ibrox, you do the managerial thing, you take these guys aside and say, do you know what, I know I promised you minutes and you will get minutes at Ibrox, but this is an important game for us as well. I've got plenty of minutes coming for you down the season. There's a cup final coming up. You know, I'm going to revert back to Maeda and Kyogo for this one, and I'll talk to you after.
Yeah, I mean, I've even seen it suggested that and pick that team deliberately so he can take it to the board and say that these players aren't good enough, we need more. I don't think not that for chance. A second that things like that, that's a quite popular...
That's Brendan Rodgers tactics.
Yeah, and it's quite a popular sort of football trope that people talk about, but I don't think it really happens in reality, because in reality, Ange will be working with the board on a daily basis in talking about the development of the players and the future of the club and all that. He's not going to pull the wool over the board's eyes and just go, by the way, all these players we've been talking about every day, all of a sudden they're not good enough. Mm. So I don't think that, I want to rule that out, first of all. I suppose that's probably an element of all of the above. There's probably, I don't think for a single second Ange would ever pick a Celtic team that he thinks has no chance of winning a football game, especially not against Rangers. I think he probably tried to balance between the team that had the best opportunity or the best chance of winning the game on the day with trying to give a player or a few players some much needed minutes, because they need to play sometime. It's all very well saying, oh, these guys are good for backup, but they need to play. They need to play football. I know it's a hell of a time to throw them in, or a hell of a place to throw them into, but ultimately they do need to play one way or another. So I think there's probably a lot of things going on. I'll admit though, see, when I saw the lineup come out an hour and a quarter or whatever it is before the game, I personally thought there was very little chance we're going to win that game. I didn't think it was impossible, but I thought, judging by A, the players were already missing, the key players we've mentioned several times recently, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Alistair Johnson are already massive. So it's the type of players that we're missing and the amount of players that we're missing from that lineup. I thought it's going to be very, very difficult today. I think we could hopefully put in a good showing, maybe get a draw or something like that. And I'm not being defeatist to that. I'm just taking into account the fact that all these games have been very, very close. If we further deplete ourselves deliberately, it seemed, then it's going to be even closer, if not a complete full swing the other way, and it turned out to be the latter.
There was people saying, how is Ange going to know? And it's not, I mean, there's a general school of thought. How's Ange going to know if these guys are ever good enough to play against Rangers if they don't actually get the chance to play against Rangers? Yeah. That's nonsense for me as well. He should be able to tell. You look at me, watch me play football for 90 minutes, you'll know I'm just shaded, not good enough to play against Rangers. He sees these guys in training every single week. So what do you think the thinking was behind the lineup? And do you agree with it? You don't necessarily have to agree with it.
90 seconds would be plenty to see you, but that's another matter.
Just needs a run of games.
It's funny, I just need the famous run of games. Get me fit and firing.
10 games, it'd be fit and firing. Hey, I think if you look at the lineup, if you look at Celtic's strongest lineup and Burnaby comes in for Greg Taylor, you go, all right, let's see how he does. Or O comes in for your Kyogo and you go, right, okay, let's see what he does. But to spin it all in the one, so looking at Celtic's lineup, O coming in, that's fine. But to change that, okay, then to put Abad in there, you're taking something else out of Celtic's attacking line. And then for three, your usual back four to be different. I think if you have Carter-Vickers and Alistair Johnston out, you keep everything else as much as possible, because ahead of Alistair Johnson, Maeda usually plays, which can stop Rangers fullbacks. And when you look at the Celtic starting lineup, Ralston has had one start since March, barely started before that as well. Kobayashi's had one start since joined in January, I think. Burnaby's had one start since March, and Abada one start in March. Incidentally, I think three of them played against Hearts, they all started together, and O's had one start since he came back. So that's five of your outfield players have had one start since March in a massive, massive game, the hardest away ground you're going to go to. There's going to be intensity, there's going to be a lack of match fitness there, and we've seen that from the start of the game. Celtic were second to all the balls, Rangers were on top of Celtic, and Celtic never got out until Rangers scored, and then they calmed down and started to play the ball about. This season, Celtic have got Rangers well in the fact that we haven't had that slow start like we have last season. Celtic, Aaron Ramsey scored early, and we always thought, oh, Rangers always got off to a quick start. Celtic didn't allow that this season until that game, and the selection played a massive, massive part in that. Kyogo presses Rangers, presses their defence back, and gives them something constantly to think about. Maeda stops so many attacks that maybe we don't see how much he does until he's out the team. Burnaby isn't as good as Greg Taylor on the ball. Johnston and Cameron Carter-Vickers, you can't help those ones. So what you can do is keep everything else the same and just bring on these guys if need be. So I think for Ange to make that many changes was criminal, to be honest, in a game like this. Yes, we'd...
Strong words against the manager. Ange's getting... Better not be watching this week.
Yeah, well, I can praise him to the highest hilt every week here, but when he comes out with a performance from that, and look, the proof was in the pudding. Celtic get absolutely skelped on the day. It was 3-0, but they were never in the game from the first whistle, pretty much. Rangers scored and deservedly got a goal because they were on top of Celtic. Celtic couldn't get out. The players they did brought in, not one of them did anything to say they should have started that game. None of them. And look, five players out, your outfield players, some of them inexperienced, some of them barely, all of the five players barely played recently. It just was a recipe for disaster. And yes, Owen Bernabeu will never get a better chance to play at Ibrox, but they need to earn that position. They need to do that. And Celtic have been doing well. We see how much a drop-off it is now from Greg Taylor to Bernabeu. That was stark before. It's even starker now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Summer's coming. Are you ready to unveil your beach bod? Manscaped is here to ensure your body is ready for the wild with their game-changing full body grooming and hygiene products. Don't be the guy at the beach with the Austin Powers chest hair, or it doesn't even have to be that, Stevie. You know, a patchy way, sort of pasty, bit of hair on the shoulders. You don't want that either. If you grew some winter man tits, right, Melly, the least you can do is make sure they're hairless. It's time to get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with our code TIMS, T-I-M-S.
Manscaped is dedicated to helping you increase your confidence and level up your full body grooming game with the Performance Package 4.0. The kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 4.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. Whether you're trimming your chest or the treasure chest in your pants, this is the best trimmer on the market. You also get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, $39 value add, and the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped boxers.
Get 20% off all of this and free shipping with the code TIMS, T-I-M-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS at manscaped.com. Trim your chesticles, the besticles. There's a couple of players I want to talk about of these changes that really annoyed me, to be honest, and I'm really questioning their futures at Celtic. And I know this is a hot topic for people. When you start talking about this in a podcast, people are in the comments, people are tweeting, you can't believe you've written X, Y, and Z off. Too bad. Because if there's people out there saying, how else is Ange going to know if these guys are good enough to play for Celtic unless they actually play and we see them? They played, we saw them. Some of them have been playing plenty of times. Some of them have been here for a long time. You had Kobayashi, Bernabe, Abada, and O. I'm going to give O a pass on the basis of we barely created anything for the guy. we could barely get up the pitch and create much for him. We created, I think, one chance for him, and he could have probably got it on target, but he hit the post, right? Yeah. So we'll shelve that just now. Kobayashi, Bernabe and Abada are the three that I think probably deserve the most criticism. Steve, we sat in this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking, maybe a couple of months ago, and we were talking about, listen, we just want to believe Bernabe is good. We've not seen enough now. We want to give the guy a chance to be good, and we had the guys back. So there's nothing about writing him off prematurely, not we had the guys back. I watched that game. He's 20 odds Bernabe. I have never seen a player come into Celtic, as long as we've been doing this podcast, as long as I've been watching Celtic, I've never seen someone come in at 20 and get from where Bernabe is to where you need to be. Think how good Chiantini was at 20 compared to what Bernabe is just now. The difference between Bernabe and Greg Taylor, and we some of us think we could probably still improve on Greg Taylor, that's too much for him to make up.
Yeah.
He was getting bullied in that game, absolutely bullied. And Melly's got this old adage, if you're having a bad game, the only thing you can do is make sure the person you're up against is having a bad game. He wasn't even doing that. He was getting pushed off the ball. He was getting the ball taken off him. He's getting caught in possession. It was a disaster for Bernabe, and I don't think he's good enough.
Well, I think the best way I can think of to sum up Bernabe's performance in that game was that most of the bad things he did came right after him doing something good. So he looked the worst just after he had done something good. So he'll beat somebody, he'll take someone on, beat them, and then he'll immediately be relieved of the ball. So that kept happening. But then the flip side of that is all the good things he did came off the back of him having done something bad. So he would give the ball away and then win it back. So that's how uneven, or it's not even uneven, it's a perfectly consistent performance. He gives the ball away all the time. Sometimes he wins it back, sometimes he doesn't. And end up, you celebrate the times he wins it back because that makes him look good. But then you try and kind of overlook the sheer number of times he's given it away.
The issue is as well, whenever he was on the ball, Rangers just looked so confident in the amount, they just take it off him. There was no, check their run not. They would just run right up to him and take it right off him. And you think, this guy's getting run over here.
Aye, it just put him under any pressure whatsoever, and he tends to buckle under that pressure, to be honest. The last time I spoke about Bernabe, I just decided to give him the benefit of the doubt, frankly based on nothing. I just decided I think he's going to probably be good. We'll learn about him in season two, but I don't know if it's going to get to that point with Bernabe, to be honest. I don't know if he'll be here next season. I don't know if he'll end up on some loan to like some Spanish team or something like that. I don't know. But
I wouldn't have cared if he went in the summer. Honestly, nah. I wouldn't go that, oh, we've lost him, we should have kept him.
It seems tremendously harsh, of course, right? Because no one likes to write off players, certainly not us. But I need to see something from him in order for it not to just be complete and utter blind faith. And I don't see anything at the moment. I don't know what the threshold is as well for number of appearances before you're allowed to generally make your mind up. Because I think he's made 18 this season. First season ball and goalie made 20 odd, probably 30 odd overall over two and a half seasons it was. So where do we draw the line where you're allowed to say, I just don't know if this kid's got it, to be honest. And again, I reiterate a point I've made before. I think people let him away with the odd mistake here and there because they think he's young. But you said he's 20 odd. He's 22. He's 22.
23 in September, so next season.
He's going to be 23 in September. He's older than Matt O'Reilly. Old. People said, like, it's unfair to focus on Bernabe and Kobayashi. What about O'Reilly, rather? I'm like, well, he's the youngest of the three.
Yeah.
For people just don't perceive him that way for whatever reason.
And there's a difference, though, isn't there? Yeah. Matt O'Reilly came in and was good and then had a dip and then sort of, I thought he was one of our better players the other day. So you're looking at Matt O'Reilly going, you've been good, mate. Can you, inconsistency, blah, blah. Yeah. Bernabe's never even passed that threshold.
From memory, I think he scored that cracking goal. Was it Ross County? Mm. I think he scored a cracking goal and that's basically just about it. But this run of games thing, again, I find myself getting annoyed at that. People say he needs a run of games. It's not going to come. It doesn't happen. People say this 10, 12 games he needs to play in a row. You try and find me a time during a Celtic season where a 10-game block can be put together that doesn't include European games, cup games, potentially a cup semi-quarter final, whatever it is, crucial games, derbies. Are you going to put him in for that 10 games? Why aren't you playing Greg Taylor? Well, because Bernabe's still in his run of games. We can't move him from that. This is not how you get into the Celtic team. It's not. No. How you get into the Celtic team is you become undeniable in training. You impress in training to the point where a manager thinks it's worth giving him a go in a game. Then you take your chance when you're given it. You might come straight back out of the team after that. Then you take your chance the next time you're given it as well. Look at Frimpong. Look, Frimpong is younger than these guys today, never mind when he was in the Celtic team. So he's 3-4 years younger than these guys are just now. He came in and Neil Lennon literally told us, look, the plan was to have a wee bit of time with this guy, try and develop him. And this is a guy who hadn't played any first team football whatsoever for anyone, Frimpong. I know, like, Man City aren't in the business of producing duds, right? So there's obviously an element of quality there. But Frimpong came in and Lennon told us, plan was to take a bit of time with this, but he's so good that holding him back from the first team would be completely pointless. He's good enough to play just now. That's how you get into the team. It's not just, oh, he's been average for 18 games. Let's just keep playing him until he gets it. You need to take your chances when you get them.
There's an alternative universe here, Melly, where if Bernabeu played well, we'd be sitting going, right, he's shown us it. This is the game. Yeah, we threw him in against Rangers and he really turned it on. But the fact of the matter is, he's not good enough.
Yeah, I think Celtic can go out, Ibrox and get beat, and you can go, oh, Bernabeu had a good game. It wasn't anything to do with him, but he wasn't good at all. And it's, we've been scrambling about seeing, I can see things in him, but at the same time you're going, but he's very rough. 23 years old come the start of next season. He's not a guy that's going to, he's been a first team player at Lanús before he came to Celtic. He's come into Celtic and it's kind of a strange signing in that the way Celtic play their fullbacks is they have to be better on the ball than they do sort of going forward. Bernabeu's the opposite of that. He's better going forward. But even then, is he that good going forward that you're going to write off all the negative things about him? No, because he's playing inside and he's getting caught on the ball so much that it's simple passes, it's simple control, it's dallying on the ball. It's unacceptable for a guy that's going to be in there. And he's kind of like a guy that's an old school fullback now, that one that stays out wide and bombs on. Celtic don't play that. Yet they've brought this guy in who, well,
this sort of brings me back to what I was saying at the beginning when I was talking about this lineup and Ange's approach. Ange knows that. Ange must watch Bernabeu and go, he's struggling with this thing I'm asking him to do, but we send him out to Ibrox and ask him to do that thing. Maybe we didn't. Maybe Bernabeu just trying to impress the manager. But I suppose my point is, you're using all these bits and bobs of machinery that don't really fit into the overall thing that you're trying to build. Everyone knows that Bernabeu can't do that thing. Everyone knows he's better going forward. So why not change the way we play?
And as well as that, if you're having Bernabeu there, right, okay, and leave the rest of the defence as is as much as possible, leave the rest of the team as much as possible, give him Maeda in front of him and give him protection.
That's it.
We took that out and we had Jota over there. Jota does well, but Maeda there stops Tavernier getting forward, and that didn't happen again. Tavernier could come out inside, which then leaves space for Rangers. Cantwell to just roam about wherever he wants. And look, you've seen it, as soon as Bernabeu got the ball, he was swarmed by two of them, because they knew, Rangers knew that if they pressed this Celtic defence, three out of the four of them don't usually play, three out of the four of them haven't played a lot recently. Rangers have done quite a good job in the last couple of games of stopping Celtic play out, to take out a few, three of Celtic's best players then, when it wasn't necessary at the back, never mind take Maeda out and Kyogo. So it was just all over the place from Celtic, and Bernabeu played a massive part in it. There's not a single goal I can say him that was on you, but putting Celtic under pressure so many times by simple passes wasn't good enough. And I was swaying on the side that I don't think he's going to be good enough, because the basics weren't there. He's played at Tynecastle now, he's played at Ibrox now, two hardest domestic games. It's not going to happen.
In his defence, I would suggest that going forward he is quite good, right? He is quite good, and he will, already has and will.
Didn't he do that at the weekend?
Yeah, he will and will continue to create goals for Celtic. That will happen. He will get the odd good cross or good cut back in, and Celtic will score from it. But that is completely negated by the fact they can't defend at all. Yeah. There was points in that game where Fashion Sakala just waltzed past him, and he didn't know, he was caught the wrong side. He was out of position, and Sakala basically walked past him. Yeah. And he's meant to be this fast guy, and Sakala was just busting past him every time. So you can't really afford, as a team like Celtic, yes, we do have an awful lot of domestic games which were an awful lot easier than that, but you can't afford to carry passengers just in the off chance that they create a goal against Ross County when you can't play them in big games. We are a team that has ambitions of playing in the Champions League and hopefully beating Rangers almost every time we play against them. We can't afford to have guys in the squad who you wouldn't even consider putting them into that game because they've proven
they can do it. Earlier in the season, they brought on Juranovic at left back.
That's right, yeah.
Instead of bringing on Bernabeu when Greg Taylor went off at Ibrox in the 2-2 game. So you've seen then sort of writing was on the wall, and you go, right, okay, maybe if he settles down now. We're in May, the season's nearly done, and I can't remember a performance from where you go, aye, that was the game, that's what we see in him.
Well, that's what I was talking about. I wouldn't care if he went in the summer, because what we can't have is a situation where you have a first choice left back and then you have some guy who just can't carry out what the manager wants. You might as well play nobody there, because Burnaby can't do what the manager wants him to do. It's no. And everyone's saying, oh, well, we need to try this, try that. Well, at the end of the day, it costs £4 million and he's 22. Yeah. And he's, it's not, it wasn't a small signing in terms of fee, came with quite a big reputation. He just cannot seem to do what the manager needs him to do. And as you say, being a club like Celtic, we need to be able to have our first choice left back out and not have such a massive drop off in quality.
I don't think he's going to go on and he's just going to be terrible the rest of his career. I just don't think he's suited to the way Celtic play. Yeah. Maybe if Ange Postecoglou was to leave in the summer and Celtic get a different manager then that plays like kind of like Rangers with a high backs high and wide, it might work for him then, because he can get on if a manager comes in and plays free at the back and he's a wing back. But playing inside for Celtic the way he does, he doesn't have
a Neil Lennon type fullback.
Kind of. Lennon's got a lot of mentions tonight. kind of like, it's just one of those guys that you can see, oh, maybe he does have good things, but too many times now the bad have well outweighed the good now. And if he's going to be playing for Celtic, he has to perform in big games. Hearts, Rangers, he's no done it. And when he has been able to be there for picked for Rangers games, he's not been picked.
People always get pissed off with his singling out guys like Burnaby and Kobayashi because they're sort of newer players. But I think I think it's because we're all quite enamoured with the idea of Burnaby, what he should be, what he could provide. He looks like he should be a really good player. I don't mean just aesthetically. I mean,
well,
the way,
what an Argentinian left back, Stephen.
Yeah, no, an Argentinian wild card at the back, flying into tackles and all that. But it's almost the opposite. He's too erratic. Like, even Todd Cantwell was basically just bullying him off the. I mean, all 8 stone of Todd Cantwell was basically just bullying him off the ball and all that. So I do get that people have an inclination to stick up for a guy like Burnaby, but I just don't see it in him at all. I'm perfectly open to being completely proved wrong.
Well, that's what would show us. Yes. That's what we're saying.
Season
here.
Two,
Greg,
he might
Greg Taylor
away.
Had a poor first season for Celtic, didn't he? And went on to that. But Greg Taylor, you could see why he fits into this team, because he's better on the ball. He's not that fullback that gets to the byline. Burnaby's thing is that, and he's not even doing that, and the other stuff is just no good enough.
And to be clear, so a final thing before we move on, because I don't want to do this the entire podcast. Yes. To be clear, we are talking about Burnaby and Kobayashi because they are the talking points of the week, because they are unusual in this Celtic team, because a lot of people will probably be saying, "Aye, but what about McGregor? What about Joe Hart and all that?" Right? I totally get that as well. They are not immune from criticism in this game, but the difference here is that we're examining this game as an opportunity for these guys to prove something to us. Callum McGregor's got nothing to prove to anyone. Aye, it was a terrible performance from the captain as well, but that's so rare that I don't even think it's really worth talking about when it's compared to something like that. We're looking at this game as an indication of what could happen in the future. Maybe nothing, right? It may have nothing to do with the future whatsoever, but we're looking for new players to prove something to us, to maybe even see if you're going to get gubbed at Ibrox, right? Hopefully you can even just look at one element and think that looked good. Yeah. You know what I mean? But we didn't have that.
I mean, the thing about Callum McGregor is I remember us sitting here during disastrous seasons, disastrous games, and making the point that Callum McGregor, when things aren't going well in the team, Callum McGregor is so diminished because he runs about trying to put fires out. And you could see that again yesterday. He's coming short. He's trying to do a mount. He's tackling. He sometimes assumes too much responsibility. But when several areas of the field are malfunctioning, it's no surprise to me that Callum McGregor is going to have a bad game. Now, Kobayashi is another one. He was an enforced change. So it's no really on the manager there. The manager, by the looks of it, chose to pick Burnaby and left Taylor on the bench. There's rumours that Taylor's got a knock. Don't know how true that is. It's never been confirmed by Celtic. But Kobayashi is an enforced change. My worry with Kobayashi is I'm more inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt, because we know that it's true as well with players from South America, but we know historically, having seen guys from Japan come to the club, that sometimes there's a bit of that transition period for them. There is. It's a bit of a culture change and all that sort of stuff. There's a bit of a big transition for them. And Kobayashi's not really been here that long. He's not had a lot of exposure to Scottish football. He might still come onto a game. I think the things that stuck out with this game, Melee, and the Hearts game with Kobayashi is he just didn't get the tempo. He didn't get the aggression. He didn't get how switched on he had to be in these games. He didn't almost get the standard of these two games, which is okay. But against that, I would say he played against Hearts. You looked a wee bit out your depth in terms of standard and getting bullied and all that sort of stuff. Surely that's a quick lesson. Surely the very next game you go, right, I got a torrid time there. I need to make sure I'm switched on because these games are fast. You don't get much time to think. I'm watching this and for the first goal, for two goals, but especially if the first goal, he's looking the wrong way and then sort of does a 180 and played Cantwell onside the whole time for the second goal. Didn't even make an attempt to header it. He's just pushed over by John Souter. It was miserable by Kobayashi. It just wasn't good enough at anywhere near it. And if he doesn't want us talking the way we're talking about Bernabe, then he's got three games to realise the standard that you need to meet as a Celtic centre half. And this is quite a tricky league at times.
Yeah, I think Kobayashi, you can give him a bit more leeway than Bernabe because he's only come in January. He's only had one start before this, I think, came on against Hearts. But last
did
week
he play in a St Mirren game? Did he start?
I think he came in a St Mirren game. Carter Vickers was
a midweek game. He made his debut.
And then he came on at half-time against Hearts away. Did all right that game, but Celtic were 2-0 up at half-time, I think. And then last week didn't look great, but Celtic got the victory. So you're looking at this game saying, right, you've got another game in. Yes, you will not be quite up to the match fitness yet, but simple things like staying in your line for that first goal and getting bullied. Yes, you can come and say, oh, it's a Japanese player coming from Scotland. Is he going to be strong enough? What league are you going to go to that you're not going to go up against strikers that are going to push off the ball? Footballers are athletes now. Even if you're up against Kyogo, he's not going to give you a second, so you need to be switched on to that. He just wasn't switched on either. He wasn't switched on, he wasn't strong enough. Even the thing that he's meant to be lauded for, his passing, that wasn't good enough. So there was pretty much nothing in that game where he did well. And again, you're looking at him and Bernabe going, right, okay, what are your strengths? They didn't get shown at the weekend either. So he's got a long way to go. Kobayashi, I was unsure on him. I'm still going to give him a bit more time because I think he deserves that. He will get that run of games that some players might not due to the injuries. But the early signs don't look good for him because it's going to be at a point where at the end of the season, if Celtic look to improve their defence, it's going to be Starfelt and Carter Vickers they're going to look to improve. Where does that leave Kobayashi then?
Well,
because
it,
he's got a chance here to say, look, I should be playing as with one of these two guys. If he falls behind that and Celtic go out and improve, he'll fall further behind and you'll look back on him going, ah, but he didn't get a chance. He's played at Tynecastle. He's played at Ibrox as well. He didn't look good in either of them. So what do we do? Wait till he's a good game against Hibs and St Mirren and Aberdeen when Celtic have won the league. Is that up to it? No, if Celtic players are going to be good Celtic players, they have to perform in these games. Yes, these guys are unfit, but do the basics, right? World-class basics,
world-class
Stephen,
basics.
That's what I'm looking for.
He needs to learn this lesson quickly, doesn't he, Kobayashi?
Yeah, and he will, because the one good thing, the one silver lining here is that he has to play now. There are no hiding places for Kobayashi because of the circumstances of the squad. We basically have to play him just now, and he deserves that go at it. What would be disastrous for him is if we go into these games and it's just been decided he can't play and Stephen Welsh ends up back in the team. That would be a pretty terrible sign if that happens. I don't think that will, but if that were to happen, such as what happened with Bernabe earlier this season, when Greg Taylor got injured, we all thought, right, great, we're going to see Bernabe, what he's made of now. And he didn't get that run because he got taken back out. Yeah. And you mentioned it earlier, Juranovic was preferred at left back. So it would be disastrous for Kobayashi if Stephen Welsh ends up in the team and we basically give him the rest of the season off. That would be a bit of a blow to the confidence. But ultimately, you know, we need to see something from him quite soon. I think he'll be fine. I think Kobayashi will be fine. I think, again, I'm sort of contradicting myself in that I like the idea. Similar to Bernabe, I like the idea of Kobayashi in that he should be able to provide something that we don't have elsewhere in the squad. That left side, the centre-half thing we've been talking about to death since he signed.
I've not really seen that.
No. Again, that's a sort of difference between the practical and the realities of things, but I'm choosing to focus on the theory of it rather than practical. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got, but again, this is there's no hiding place for the rest of the season. We've still got not so much big games coming up because they're all to one degree or another dead rubber after the league's already been sealed, but people are still playing for, as I said earlier, people are still playing for their cup final places. We can only pick 11 players for that plus sub, so it's good luck to him. Hope he can turn it around.
The games against Rangers and Rangers' biggest threat for me pre the game at the weekend is Tavernier. He gets forward, he puts in good balls and all that, so I would try and stop that. So to take out your best presser, and then behind that you've got Bernabe, and beside that you've got Kobayashi. If I am a Rangers manager, I'll go, right, try and get Tavernier on the ball as much as possible. How do I create space for him? Well, I'll try and get Cantwell going around that right-hand side and I'll have a bit of pace over there in fashion Sakala. It's simple stuff. And that just played right into Rangers' hands there.
Do that again, but doing it in a kind of slabbery Cockney accent again.
I'm happy to give Kobayashi bit of time. And that was a forced change. So the manager can't really carry the can too much in that one, that, as you say.
He can play different players around him, can't he?
He can play different players around him.
It's annoying.
It is annoying. Abada is...
I was going to say, who are you going to do next to us?
we're going through everyone here, right? Because there's a shitless
scatterguns.
That wasn't a scattergun symbol you did, Millie. What was that?
Was that caught on camera? Hopefully not.
Millie goes, the old scatterguns. Wow. Jesus.
It's a nickname.
Christ, oh bloody mighty. Right, Abada. Right, Abada's next. Is there a stat, Stephen? I had a look on Y Scout. There is no stat that tells you how many times a cross is clattered against someone's shins. Abada's... The numbers are pretty undeniable with Abada.
Yeah.
However, I've not really looked into the numbers as much because the numbers with Chris Boyd were undeniable as well, and we can all pretty much admit that guy wasn't very much of a player in his day, right? And I was about to say I'm no comparing Abada to Chris Boyd, but I suppose I am in one sense.
I suppose you did, yeah.
I suppose I did in one sense. The point I'm trying to make is when I'm watching him play, I wonder where these numbers come from because his play, especially his wing play, is diabolical at times and creates nothing. And then this thing he does where he's supposed to be pretty sharp and pretty good in the box, well, he had a chance and it was pathetic.
Slapped it, didn't he?
It was less than a pass back.
Yep. The old, this slapped at it with a sock full of diarrhea instead of a foot. Yes, that old favourite of ours.
Grotesque.
Yeah, hideous imagery. Abada, Abada's still Abada. He's still liable to come up and score a goal at nothing, although he missed that one, right? But my concern with Abada is that he's not a better player now than he was when he joined Celtic 2 years ago. And that's kind of what we want. We want to bring these guys in and develop them in order to sell them on. Now, I'm not saying he's worse, but what I'm saying is I don't see any of the ironing out of the various problems that Abada has basically from word go in with Celtic. He came in, has basically scored fairly consistently throughout his Celtic career. That has dropped off a wee bit this season, but he's not been playing as much. But do I see that a few of his deficiencies have been worked on, such as his crossing, such as his trickery, such as being able to beat a man, stopping doing that thing where he gets to the edge of the box, cuts back on his left foot and then just plays a diagonal pass into no one towards the penalty spot. Does that all the time. Watch out for it, kids. Enjoy. I don't see an improvement in any of that. When you're talking about Abada and selling him, we're often asked, why would you sell Abada? Because he scores a lot of goals and all that. It really is about projecting into the future and whether you can see him developing or whether he is at his ceiling just now. I think it's the latter, to be honest. I think he could get better. He could iron a couple of things out, but I don't think he's ever going to be... You don't go from being Abada to like Riyad Mahrez in a couple of seasons or anything like that. He has a ceiling, in my opinion, and I think he's probably quite close to that.
The thing about these games is people think to us like, you're being harsh. You're just going through all these players, you're writing them off, you're picking holes in it. But this is the standard we want to be at Celtic. Yeah. And the level of performance that we saw is just not acceptable for any Celtic game, but particularly a game at Ibrox. And the players that we are picking on here, well, picking up here rather than picking on the players, a lot of them, this is concerns that we've had the whole time. They've been at Celtic, particularly with Abada and particularly with the Burnaby. So when you see them in that environment, it's in many ways, it's a lot easier in this podcast to sit here and go, well, they're not good enough. Because we want to get to next season where we're not seeing this type of performance. We want to get next season where we can rely on these guys that are on the fringes. And I think there's a lot of guys now, you're looking at it going, beyond Ange's first 11, which he says all season, we don't have, this is about the group. Remember that conversation? I don't have a first 11, I've got a group. You've got a first 11, Ange. And the guys that come in and out of the team, none of them are really on the verge of staking a claim for knocking anyone off their perch. And Abada's one of them. I just don't see a situation where he takes Jota's or Maeda's place ever at Celtic.
No, I think the Celtic starting lineup's probably the one that beat Rangers in the semi-final recently. I think Aaron Moy sometimes come in, but is he going to be a long-term player for Celtic? Probably not. So you're looking at, and look, these guys have won this league very well. They have put Rangers out of two cups. They've done okay in the Champions League. So we don't need to talk about Cal McGregor, Jota, Kyogo. We know they are the big game players. It's the guys like Abada.
Are you about to say gig BAME players,
Miley? Probably.
They are the gig BAME players.
It's the guys like Abada, Bernabe, Kobayashi, who have something to prove still. And if Celtic are going to go out in the summer, you're looking at what positions are we going to strengthen? It's probably going to be centre-back, left-back, and a winger as well. And it's these guys that will be, their places will be taken. So you're looking for them to have a chance there and go, right, no, you don't need to buy somebody there. With Abada, we've been saying it all season, yes, he scores, but we need to see better from him. He's another guy, I know Ange Bottom, but just looks like a good player, but just doesn't fit in this team. Celtic's wide players with Jota and Maeda are totally different players, but you can completely see why they fit into Celtic and what they do. Abada finishes chances, but again, like I say, when Abada and Maeda line up in the same team, I don't like it, because if Maeda and Abada don't have anything created for them, I don't see them creating. Jota was in there at the weekend, but he can create, and then you take Kyogo out. So I think Abada, it's, if Celtic get a decent offer from him in the summer, I think we should take it. I think most Celtic fans will agree with that. But at the end of the day, he's on there to do a job, and he just didn't do it. He didn't create enough chances. He didn't take the chance he got. And I just don't think he works hard enough defensively.
Rangers were right on top of us, and we just really struggled to get a hold of the game. And it seemed to me like, you know, Todd Cantwell's escaped the game with the man of the match and lots of plaudits, managed to get himself on a goal. I don't know if he set up another one. Watching the first goal, he just seemed to drift through the game and no one could really pick him up. There seemed to be no responsibility there. And I'm left thinking, overall, did we pick a team and send them out to try and play the way that Celtic always play, without taking into any consideration, Stephen, how Rangers are going to approach the game, without taking into consideration the team selection we put out? It just strikes me as a bit naive. Now, I know Ange has this thing where, and I'm sure of, you might have said it about the coaches' conference, or I might have heard someone else say it on an interview, it was definitely said about Celtic that we don't spend an awful lot of time watching the opposition and worrying about what the opposition are trying to do.
It's not that we don't watch them, it's just that 95% of what Celtic do is about what Celtic do. About 5% will be the opposition, but that'll be changed when it is up against Rangers or the Champions League.
Aye, but that, to me, that was reinforced again. It looked as if we didn't spend an awful lot of time thinking about what Rangers were going to do. They just, be brutally honest, Rangers just imposed their game directly upon Celtic and battled us 3-0. That's what happened.
Yeah, that is what happened, aye. Yeah. We should have just cut it off after that. We should have just said that. And
no
just
caveats. Just, that is what happened. I can't make any quippy, funny excuses for what happened. You need to just accept the bare facts of these situations. And I can hear people in the comments already saying, aye, but it's a game that didn't matter. It did. As far as I'm concerned, it mattered. And you're not telling me for 1 minute that Ange didn't think it mattered, as you say, McGregor didn't think it mattered.
If we'd have won 3-0, we'd be all doing the smiley thing at the start. We'd be on here lapping up, wouldn't
every
we?
Single person at Celtic thinks it mattered, every player thought it mattered, and everybody in this room thinks it mattered. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of Celtic fans thinks it mattered. And
we are the ones that matter.
And we are the ones that matter. So I'm just left looking at that game going, there's no real hiding place for anybody involved.
No, to be honest, there was very little positive to take, and that's kind of what I said when we're maybe overly focusing on guys like Bernabe and Kobayashi and Abada. It's because those guys play less than everyone else, and we're kind of looking at those guys saying, like, give us some hope here, give us something. He'd come away thinking, aye, that was a bit of a doon, but they're going to be good in the future, and we didn't get that. So that's maybe why we've been, maybe if in some people's eyes, a little bit harsh on those guys. As far as Cantwell goes, I mean, I nearly said we made them look good, but the fact is he was good, but Celtic did contribute to that. I mean, it's Celtic's first choice midfield that were in that. They just couldn't really get to grips with him at all. Bernabe couldn't get near him either. What I would say about Cantwell is that the third goal was calamitous. McGregor and Starfelt just sort of fell over each other. It was mostly Callum McGregor's fault, if I'm honest. Starfelt didn't do well after that, but Callum McGregor got himself in a bit of a mess. But the two of them were caught off guard by Cantwell being more aggressive than either of them. He just flew into a tackle, and all of a sudden they broke away and scored. He got away with murder. Right, he committed,
I think, 7 fouls, including running at the crowd.
Well, he committed more fouls on the day than Celtic's entire team plus subs.
Wow.
And wasn't booked for it at all. Callum McGregor committed 1 foul and was booked for it. So I don't want to come across like it's kind of sour grapes and I'm focused. That's not the reason Celtic lost the game at all. It was just, it's one of those things we've spoken about in recent weeks about how it's just, yellow cards now just feel arbitrary in Scottish football. I don't know if it's like that elsewhere, but it's just kind of made up on the day. It's just vibes, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just
vibes. I suppose, I mean, what you would say was if there was a Dick Advocaat sitting in this chair, what he might say was, well, Todd Cantwell got a man of the match performance, really impressed himself on the game with his pressing and his aggression and his winning the ball back. If you book him for one of those, does that make him think twice about some of the tackles that he puts in? And that's how maybe he influenced the game. But as you say, it is no, that is not why we lost the game. And I think when you look at the first goal that, Cantwell scored, and you're talking about the Celtic midfield, and yes, they had a bad game, but I honestly think that's down to everyone had a bad game, and you've got three guys in midfield and they just can't do it all themselves. They literally can't do it all themselves. But when you watch the first goal, and this is why I think we didn't really take Rangers into consideration, Cantwell picks up the ball, Matt O'Reilly's 8 yards away from him, he just pings a ball outright, runs away up the pitch away from Matt O'Reilly, who doesn't follow him, who doesn't seem to pass him on. Cantwell just strolls right into the box, completely unmarked, nobody's picking him up, stands next to Kobayashi, who's playing him offside, and then eventually scores a rebound. And you think, no wonder this guy's having a good game, because it's almost like we just thought, doesn't matter about Cantwell, doesn't matter about Raskin, doesn't matter what they do, we'll play our usual game with unusual players and we'll probably come on top.
Yeah, that was the thing with this game. Ugh. Was lovely. It was a chance for us to stop the Todd Cantwell's a good player or this Michael Beale's a tactical genius, but this was a Rangers team that were out, no matter what you think of them, we're out Morelos, without Kent and without Tillman, three guys that would start with them on a normal occasion. They didn't have them and they still scored three goals against Celtic. All these games this season, apart from the first game where Beale wasn't in charge, have been won by the odd goal or a draw. This was a beating, and that's because Celtic weren't good enough and they didn't get close to Rangers at all. Another thing with the Cantwell thing is, it's them now thinking, right, we can go and build a team around that guy. Like, that we probably laughed at that coming up to this game because we haven't seen it in games before and we thought it was a bit of cheerleader, but he put the performance in there that says, do you know what, he could probably be a good player for them, and if they get decent players around him, that could have all been shut up. Their manager could have been found out if Celtic had went out there and beat them, but the fact is we didn't, and Celtic's deficiencies were showed up. We did struggle in the second half in the last game to play out with Rangers when they changed it up a wee bit in the second half at Hampden. We struggled from the start in this game. Rangers don't have better players from Celtic, but they managed to stop Celtic playing out. And as well, if Celtic are going to have a slow start like that and go a goal down, the game's going to be difficult enough. We are first team out there, but Celtic can get back into it like we've seen last season. But Celtic simply have to sort out this set piece thing. Celtic have conceded 8 goals against Rangers this season. That's bad enough. But 5 of them have been from set pieces from it. Now, look, one's a penalty, okay, one's a free kick. But to let in, so you're basically giving up a set piece in every game against Rangers this season. All the games have been tight and won by the goal. This one, it's ridiculous looking at it. 3-0, a team that's missing 3 of their top attacking players isn't good enough. If you're going to give them a head start like that, you better get back into the game quickly. Had the chance, didn't take it. And then if you're going to just simple crosses into the box are going to be resulting good chances for Rangers, then Celtic are going to struggle against them because they already set out their stall by signing a 6-foot midfielder for next season. We know what they're going to do in the transfer market. Looking at Kobayashi, this is why you have serious worries over him, because he's going to be one of the two main marking players for Celtic. And if he can't even do that, you're going to give up a lot of chances from set pieces. So Celtic have to sort out this set piece thing against Rangers.
The truth is, these games have been pretty
cool. You're busting any tears there.
I
thought I could get that sentence out before I lost my breath, but I couldn't.
The truth is, we've not been great for a couple of weeks. We've not been there for a couple of weeks, Stephen, have we? We've been sort of eking through these games. The Glasgow derbies have always been quite close. I had a look at the sort of historic Glasgow derbies, and they all seem to be fairly close affairs. On occasion, one team will shit the nest and end up getting beat by 3 goals. That's kind of what happens, and on this occasion it was us. But if we're brutally honest, Celtic have not been good for the last couple of fixtures, have we?
No, not really. Kind of limping towards the end of the season. And I said recently about how, I think it was in one of our live match build-ups, possibly for Hearts. I thought that we probably would start to drop points. Now that because the season is effectively over, even going into the Hearts game where we sealed it, I thought, right, well, there's a chance we might start dropping points here because we're starting to wear the bruises of the season a wee bit. We're starting to pick up injuries. Even guys who are playing just now have just come back off injuries. You think of Hatate, Jota, Aaron Moy and all that. We're starting to sort of, we're starting to wear it a wee bit. We're starting to look our age when it comes to getting towards the end of the season. So it is true that we've not been great recently. But ultimately, it's still a massive disappointment. All these excuses, it's still a massive disappointment to go to Ibrox and turn in a performance like that. And as I was thinking there, just after I said it, there's another way to look at that stat involving Todd Cantwell's fouls. Why are we only committing 4 fouls?
Well, yeah.
Getting gubbed at Ibrox, by the way. I don't want to come across all Graeme Souness about it, but come on, a bit of pride, a bit of life in here, yes, lads. You're not convincing me for a single second if Alistair Johnson's on that pitch. He's not claiming at least a couple of bodies with him, take somebody down with him. So I was a wee bit disappointed in that. Celtic committed 4 fouls over 16 players.
And a 3-0 defeat at Ibrox. Yeah. Not good. That's another thing that's not good enough. For me, Melly, the manager, carries a can on this one.
Yeah, I think so. We'll praise him all we want, but the changes in there, it sets Celtic up for defeat, especially with guys like Greg Taylor, who we know you can give him the ball and it'll be fine. Put Kobayashi alongside him, it doesn't look too bad. All the players that came in at the weekend, all are fine if that's the only change. But all those changes, so if you're going to have 2 enforced changes, you don't change 3 out the back 4 for me and then take out Maeda and Kyogo. Top goal scorer, best presser. So many good things about Celtic were taken out. Alistair Johnston and Carter Vickers can't be helped, but to have your top goal scorer, a guy that presses teams to death and one of your most consistent players sitting on the bench for your toughest away game of the season. Yes, the league's won, but I thought we never stop talking about standards and all that. I think it's going to be one of those games that long term, hopefully it benefits Celtic because it shows, look, Rangers aren't miles behind us. If they get a decent summer transfer window, then they're going to go into next season looking pretty strong. And that's what Celtic need to keep pushing on. We need to show that, no, do you know what? We've got better to go. And we do. There's 3 or 4 positions Celtic could really strengthen. But just before we go, I was going to ask you, like, looking at this, I asked Lewis in the post-match as well, are these games getting pointless? Because if there's going to be no away fans, is it just looking like the home team is going to win these games?
Pretty much. I mean, it's the note we've discussed. We've discussed the no away fans thing for a while, and it is absolutely pointless, and it doesn't really make for that good an atmosphere as well. We've no mention, but we should, the fact that we could have had these fixtures any way we wanted, and we're waiting a couple of weeks to get the champions back to Parkhead. Absolutely makes no sense for me as well.
But even Andy Walker and that mentioned it on Sky, and you're like, it's embarrassing. Mm. It's no as if because there's fans in there, there's going to be riots like there are in some places. There's never riots at these games.
No.
Get fans in there, get a grip of it, man. It's the premier game in Scotland.
Get Sutton back as well. Sutton's still banned.
Oh, he's still banned from
Man. Couldn't guarantee his safety. Remember that a couple of seasons ago whenever it was risible?
Matt, the manager, Stephen, carries a can.
Yeah, to be fair, at least he did own that. Yeah. I think the first thing he said after the game was basically that the changes he made didn't help the situation. So at least he's taken a bit of responsibility for that and not just saying... Again, imagine it the other way around. It'd be all just excuses and
about
how.
Is that taking responsibility or is that sort of saying, aye, these guys are not good enough? In one hand, it's taking responsibility, saying the changes I made are not good enough. But rephrasing that, it's him saying, I shouldn't have played Burnley.
There's a strong whiff of that about it. But given the benefit of the doubt, being charitable, I would like to say that he is suggesting that he upset the rhythm of the team, which was already depleted, as mentioned earlier. We're already missing some really, really important players and we took yet more out. So again, he has at least copped to not helping the situation by doing that. Because again, if it was the other way around, if Rangers had come to Celtic Park and Celtic had just completely done them in a dead rubber, we would be hearing about next season, we'd be hearing about the real Rangers, we'd be hearing about how they didn't win, etc. So at least we have guys like Ange and Callum McGregor who aren't going to sugarcoat things, they're not going to patronise us and tell us everything's rosy. The word used was unacceptable. Yeah. I totally agree with that. So all we can do is learn from that, move on, improve for next season.
That's it. It has to be you learn from defeat more than you do from winning. Yeah. That has to be it. It has to be a bit of a wake-up call for Celtic. It has to be a bit of a wake-up call for a few players. And it's a wake-up call for Ange that wholesale changes sometimes don't work. If you're looking at that starting lineup going up against Aberdeen a couple of weeks ago, a lot of changes here. This could be a difficult game. Going to the hardest game was a bit silly in hindsight.
Good this, wasn't it?
Guess what, though? Doesn't matter. Listen to this for an hour, it doesn't matter. If I'm going to lose one Glasgow Derby, I'd rather lose the one that means absolutely nothing.
Get it out of them.
Get it out of them. Nothing means nothing. Bring on the treble. Enjoy that. See Raskin on Instagram giving it the shpatter. What have you been all season enough?
We guys.
Subscribe to us on YouTube. Click that subscribe button. Patreon.com/20minutetims as we can support the podcast. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.